Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thanks for coming back to my channel. And this is about the so-called special relationship between the United States of America and the UK. So first mentioned after the Second World War is something which is far more often cited in the United Kingdom than it is in the USA. And that's the idea that the United Kingdom's got a specially close relationship with the US, that the United States will help the UK and the UK will help the United States, and they'll cooperate. And it's mutually beneficial, but that mutuality of respect is not there. I mean, it's largely illusory, I mean, particularly under Donald J. Trump. Now, supposedly there's some military technology that they've shared with the United Kingdom that they didn't share others. And we could say even in the Second World War, like the United Kingdom giving radar to the United States, which was top secret at the time. Most, you know, Germany had no idea existed. That's where the myth came out about, oh, Britons eat carrots, their eyesight is better, so they see the Luftwaffe at night or something. And Churchill said that the radar was the most precious cargo that Britain sent to America, apart from the King James Bible. But all right. And then there was Marshall Aid Plan after the Second World War, and the United Kingdom got more than any other country. I can't think what else. But the Americans refused to share nuclear weapons technology. Remember, the nuclear arms had been a British Empire project before the Second World War, as in Canadians, Australians, as well as Britons working on it. And when the USA entered the war, this British Empire team handed all their data to the Americans. Only the United States had the resources to complete the project, obviously, which they did. But after the Second World War, they weren't not sharing it. So there's been a special relationship in that regard and using each other's bases. But, you know, then NATO was founded in 1949, and the United States had therefore had military bases all over the world. What really kept people up at night, because of the Cold War, is what the United States says, forget it, isolationism. And there were a few Americans advocating for that. And then if the Soviet Union had chosen to invade Western Europe, that was it. Even with American help, it would be touch and go whether NATO could defeat the Soviets on land. But without the Americans, there was just really no chance. And Churchill hadn't even thought about Operation Madhouse to start, what was it, Operation Unthinkable, to start the war again in 1945 against the Soviets immediately, release German prisoners of war. Wow. But anyway, and that would have been crazy. It definitely would have been a British defeat. Now, the United States had pressurized the UK to dissolve the empire. I remember someone had spoken to Churchill about the Indians, the oppressed Indians. And Churchill said, sorry, which Indians do you mean? Do you mean the Indians in America who've been almost wiped out by white Americans? Or do you mean the Indians in India who populated alarmingly under beneficent British superintendents? Now, admittedly, there was that terrible Bengal famine in the mid-1940s. So the empire was gradually dissolved. And one thing is it actually opened it to American companies, because previously there was imperial preference. That, I mean, American companies could sell to these British colonies, could purchase from them, but not at such preferential rates. There'd be sort of tariffs for them. But that was gone. Anything else? So, that's why the UK fought in Korea as United Nations missions, partly to keep the Americans on side. Then Suez, famously, the Americans did not support the British position, and it was a military success, but a diplomatic defeat. People already saying 70 years later, Trump's misadventure in the Persian Gulf has shades of Suez, and perhaps we have not yet to see how it pans out. So was there anything else? Then when the Americans started fighting in Vietnam, they said to the Britons, are you going to help us out? Well, no, they're not. But we helped you in the Second World War. The United States helped a lot of countries in the Second World War. Should the Soviets be on their side for that reason? France helped France, Spain, the Netherlands. They all helped the United States in the revolution, but they don't help France, Spain, and the Netherlands all the time. It's very unpopular. The United Kingdom chose to remain out of that war. Supposedly, Harold Wilson, the Labour Prime Minister, said, well, I vocally support you, but they stopped saying that because it became bitterly unpopular in Labour circles. Even the Conservative opposition did not advocate dispatching troops there. And Lyndon Baines Johnson said, want more flags, send some British soldiers, a token amount, even a company, just something. So I can say there are British troops there, but they didn't send any. Goodness, that was it. I did meet a Royal Naval sailor who told me that the Royal Navy once bombarded North Vietnam, but I don't know if he was spinning me a yarn because I never heard that from any more reputable source. But when it came to the United Kingdom itself, the United States strongly agitated against democracy, saying Northern Ireland should be expelled from the United Kingdom, fused with the Irish Republic and so on, even though we in the Republic of Ireland, you know, we give nothing to the United States but get so much. Obviously, most Americans really know nothing about Ireland and have no idea by Northern Alliance with the United Kingdom and so forth. So the Republican terrorists were able to exploit that ignorance. So it's staggering the way that so many Americans are against democracy in Northern Ireland, but for illegal occupation regarding Gaza and the West Bank, for the racist armed robbery committed by Zionists against these long-suffering and heavily oppressed Palestinians. Goodness, but that's bigotry for you. So, you know, the United States and the UK haven't always agreed. Remember Dean Acheson famously smiled almost 70 years ago, say Britain has lost an empire, but not yet found a role. But that's often quoted again. But then the United Kingdom eventually joined the European Economic Community, as it was, on US Day 1973, having twice been rebuffed. So was that it? Was that Britain's role? Did that answer the Kissinger question, who to call in Europe? You'd like one phone number. And the European Union has then its present, the commission, I suppose he or she is the person to call these days. What else? Yeah. Republic of Ireland. So we've got sort of diplomatic support from the USA, and the US government was not neutral on the Ulster conflict, very much favored the nationalist position. It's fair enough that the FBI stopped trying to stop terrorists purchasing weapons in Northern Ireland and things like that. Maybe more could have been done. What else? They didn't obviously extradite terrorists as much as they should have done. Goodness, and also depriving the police of the firearms they desperately needed to keep the public safe in Northern Ireland. But the United Kingdom fought alongside the United States, the Gulf War 1991, the liberation of Iraq 2003, that NATO mission in Afghanistan and so on. Irish Republic, well, we don't, partly because our army's tiny, but we've got this on neutrality written into the Constitution. Is there anything else? Disagreements, obviously, the US invasion of Grenada, this illegal, unprovoked, unjustified invasion. And notably, Elizabeth II was the head of state. And Margaret Thatcher, she spoke against it. Remember reading what Sir Malcolm Rifkin said, a conservative politician. He said, yes, in the 80s, under the Thatcher government, the Conservative Party had accorded relations with the US government, but also had blazing rows. So it doesn't have to be one thing or the other. I'm just trying to think. So the United States, is it particularly helpful to the UK beyond that? I mean, there's obviously Five Eyes right after the Second World War, with New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the USA, and the United Kingdom, as in sharing all intelligence. Now, there are many in the United States who have been arguing about 9/11. This is an unequal bargain, because the United States, because of its huge population and its vast resources, garners far more intelligence than all the others put together. And it gives away far more than it gets. And one of the core principles is that everything is shared. Maybe they cheat on that one a bit. And that they don't spy on each other. Well, they'll probably cheat on that one too. But obviously, it's kind of a low priority. Under Obama, there's a big spying operation, US spying operation on the European Union was busted. But again, that's a low priority because it's not seen as a hostile entity. So the UK does get a bit from that. But the relationship is not that special. Donald Trump, presumably he can boss the United Kingdom around and so on. And I'm glad that Starmer showed a bit of backbone and saying, no, we're not taking part in this illegal and unwarranted war, but then somewhat caved in. So Starmer's not firmer with him, partly because British defence has been so denuded for decades by cutback after cutback under Labour and Conservative, and meant to be ramping up spending, which is too little too late. Obviously lying about what they're actually spending on. You know, Irish defence policy, we have obviously small armed forces. We can't afford a lot of expensive assets. A small country to be fighting a guerrilla campaign. That's how we defend ourselves. And the idea that the United Nations, we say the United Nations is quite a damp squib. We're supposedly neutral, but then, you know, we did allow US military aircraft to land at Shannon en route to Iraq. I think not bombing missions. Again, you see, that is not strictly neutral. You wouldn't allow Iraq to do that if they were invading the United States. So the relationship, as I say, is like not terribly special, is largely a delusion. What else would the United Kingdom want out of it? What else could they ask for? What else does the USA want? And I know the USA, their position currently is more help against Iran. But, you know, the United Kingdom doesn't have to be blindly loyal, doesn't have to obey Uncle Sam when Uncle Sam is wrong. And even most Americans think this is a bad idea, unpardonable folly. So imprudent, to say the least. Ill thought through. Anyway, Trump will get bored of this idea. And in a month, he'll say, well, let's attack somewhere else. because you know he was going to attack Panama and then Greenland and then Canada and he's to Venezuela and he's going to attack Cuba and now it's Iran. I'll be off that idea. No doubt that the Grand Ayatollah will be like a best buddy. He'll fall in love with him, like Kim Jong-un. So there's no telling where his weather vane mind is going to turn next. But the war was one that was completed almost. It's still going on a few days later. Wow. Who can tell where his fancy will take flight next? So that is the not very special relationship. But, you know, a lot of American tourists come to the United Kingdom. I think the UK should abolish that need for them to fill out for the form before they come. Likewise, the Irish Republic, we should abolish that too. Anything else? You know, lots of American tourists. Anything else? It'd be good if the United States made it easier for British tourists going there instead of sort of like treating you like Osama bin Laden until you can prove to the contrary. Tell about a poor British woman who's detained, not arrested, important legal difference, for weeks when she went on holiday to the USA. I mean, if you think she's bad, I mean, there, kick her out, don't keep her in. It's terrible. What a scandal. Imagine if that happened to an American woman on holiday in the United Kingdom. So there could be better cooperation. Or if there's some sort of cultural commonality to do with films and comedy. Yes, the language, but that's not a big deal anymore. It was in the 1940s, but it's such an Anglophone world. Something like 20% of the world's population speak English. Now, not that many is their first language, but that 20% amongst the wealthy nations or the highly educated people was much higher than that. But go back to the 40s, it was a much smaller percentage of the world were conversant in English. So that link was much more vital. What do you think? Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to our Patreon, then to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.